In a world darkened by the fall, we all need light for our daily path. Psalm 119 tells us where to find that light. The psalmist says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." The word, the Bible, gives us light, and that's good news. The good news of Jesus Christ is what we need each and every day. This is Gospel Talk with Pastor Wes Bradenhoff of the Langley Canadian Reformed Church. It's great that you've joined us again this afternoon as we search the Scriptures together, having our path illuminated by God's Word. Here's your host this afternoon, Pastor Wes Bradenhoff.
Hello and welcome to today's program. Glad that you tuned in. I've got Pastor Chris Gordon here with me. I'm Pastor Wes Bradenhoff from the Langley Canadian Reformed Church. And today we're talking about the office of elder. Now, I know that may seem a little bit odd. It may seem a little bit unusual to some of our listeners. Maybe some of our listeners aren't familiar with the office of elder and what the Bible says about it. So I think it's worthwhile that today we spend some time looking at the Word of God and what it says about this particular subject. Now, Chris, I think it's important that we begin by surveying the landscape around us, so to speak, and to, you know, evaluate what has happened to the office of elder in North American Christianity. I'm wondering if you can begin, start off and comment on that.
Well, I think, Wes, that's a very good question. When we look at North American Christianity, I think what we are products of is an environment that has sort of been anti-authoritarian. And so we have not liked any sort of authority structure placed over us. And we have seen in recent years the devaluing of the office of elder, something that is clearly taught in the Bible. We have all these new models that are implemented in the church today. For instance, a lot of churches don't even have the office of elder. They have a board of directors to try to model the corporate world. You have some churches following what's known as the Moses model, where really the pastor sort of takes the CEO role, and then it's a sort of hierarchical type of governmental system in the church. And you have other models that really people have not engaged and look at what Scripture has given such clear, you know, commands and designs of what and the authority structure of the church should be, so that things would be ruled in a way that promote good order and is God glorifying.
Yeah, I think related to that, there's a book that was written a number of years ago by Nathan Hatch called The Democratization of American Christianity. And in that book, Nathan Hatch very clearly shows how democratic ideals infiltrated into the American church. And that's also carried across the border into Canadian Christianity as well. So that what you get is this conception of the church as being on the same level as the state. Or in a way, it's even more democratized. Because for many people, the church is not a body of believers overseen by a body of elders. But instead, it's just believers, all equal, egalitarian. Nobody is above anybody else. Nobody can tell anybody else what to do or what to think. There's no accountability. There's no discipline whatsoever.
And, well, I think that's exactly right. The whole democracy element, that's exactly something that has bombarded the church. And, you know, you look at Israel's history. When did Israel really fall, or when did these sort of things happen? It was when the people started ruling by the dictates of their own hearts. And I think that principle extends very much into the New Testament, where the Apostle Paul warns against this in the New Testament church and reminds people to be subject to the rulers and authorities that God has placed over them. And so that's why, you know, Hebrews chapter 13 commands Christians to submit themselves to the elders, to the watchmen over their souls whom God has appointed for their good. This is his governmental system, and I think you're right. We have to move away from what our common culture has done with a democracy and again go back to the Scriptures and ask, what has God designed in terms of how he wants his church governed?
Now let's do that. Let's go back to the Bible and see what the Bible has to say about this office of elder. Neglected teachings of the Bible about the office. And I think one place that we can begin is in Titus. There's a number of different places that we could take our starting point. But in Titus chapter 1, verse 5, Paul is addressing Titus. Titus was a pastor on the island of Crete. And Paul writes to him and says, "For this reason, I left you in Crete, that you should set in order the things that are lacking and appoint elders in every city as I commanded you. Now, what we have to realize is that this office of elder was not actually a New Testament innovation or invention, that there's a history of the office of elder that goes back to the Old Testament already. If you look at the people of Israel in the Old Testament, Moses appointed elders also among the people of Israel who were to assist him and guide him in his task. So the office of elder in the New Testament has an Old Testament background.
That's right. And when, you know, it was already something assumed almost in the New Testament church that there were elders. There were, elder means older, of course. But we're looking at that, I think, in Acts 6, where the specific function of the office is outlined because of the needs in the church. For instance, there were some needs that arose in the early church, and this is what happened. Then the 12 summoned the multitude of disciples and said, "It is not desirable that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Therefore, brethren, seek out from among yourselves seven men of good reputation and full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business, but we will give ourselves continually to prayer and the ministry of the word." And there was there's something that was specifically outlined there between the distinction in the offices, of gifts of serving, as we have the office of deacon, but also there, the oversight of the word, the leadership and the oversight of the word, the word and sacrament ministry, and of prayer.
And I think if we go to 1 Peter 5 as well, we find exhortations to the elders. 1 Peter 5, verse 1, "The elders who are among you, I exhort, I who am a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ and also a partaker of the glory that will be revealed, shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion but willingly, not for dishonest gain but eagerly, nor as being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away." In this passage here, we find a description of what elders are to be doing in the church of God. They are to be shepherds, which means that they are to take care of the sheep, that they are to feed the sheep, that they are to minister among them, that they are to be overseers. And you read that passage from Hebrews, which means that these are men who are going to have to give account for the lives and for the doctrine of those who have been placed in their care. And they're to do this not by compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly, not as being lords, but being examples to the flock. So that these elders are to be godly men who show with their walk and talk what it is to believe in Jesus Christ.
Right, and to add to that, in 1 Timothy chapter 5, at verse 17, "Let the elders who rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in the word and doctrine." And then notice the command here, "Do not receive an accusation against an elder except from two or three witnesses, those who are sinning rebuke in the presence of all, that the rest may fear." What he's getting at here is just the respect for the office. God has done something very unique in the life of his church. He has placed elders there for our benefit. Mm-hmm. He's placed them there for our spiritual growth, our oversight, that we would be nourished on the good words of faith. And so that's why this Hebrews passage continues to come back, that we are to obey those who rule over us and be submissive. Why? Well, because these elders watch out for our souls as those who must give an account. "Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you." God has placed these people, these elders, these watchmen there for the benefit and advancement of his truth.
Exactly. And so we would encourage our listeners to be sure that you are in a church that has elders. The biblical teaching on this is clear enough that a church of Jesus Christ in this world needs to have elders, men who are going to be shepherds of the flock of God, who are going to be caring for the flock of God. That's how Christ wants his churches to be ruled. And that brings us to the next question of the qualifications for office, and that's what we find also in Titus 1. We also find it in the other pastoral epistles. Paul writes in verse 6 here of Titus 1, "If a man is blameless, the husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of dissipation or debauchery or insubordination, for a bishop or an overseer must be blameless as a steward of God, not self-willed, not quick-tempered, not given to wine, not violent, not greedy for money, but hospitable, a lover of what is good. sober-minded, just, holy, self-controlled, holding fast the faithful word as he has been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and convict those who contradict.
Right. And, you know, I think there's great, great detail given here for us, Wes, to consider the men who should be put up in these offices. There's a reason for that. You know, I would like to also ask the question maybe today, you know, what happens when churches do not honor this this design that God has given? What does this produce in the life of the church? What happens when this is neglected? I think that's important.
Then we miss the checks and balances that are provided by God's own word. You know, I go back to what it says in verse 9 of Titus 1, holding fast the faithful word as he has been taught. Not only does that produce benefit for the individual elder for that office bearer, it also produces benefit for the church, holding fast the word. Well, what is that word? It's the gospel of Jesus Christ. If we want our churches to be holding fast to the gospel, we need these checks and balances provided by God's word.
Well, that's right, Wes. And you know, one of the beautiful things, you know, is that oftentimes the Word of God is preached with no accountability. Think about this structure where you have men appointed by God to oversee that Word and to determine what is faithful. And therefore, there is that checks and balances so that when the people hear the Word preached, they can be assured, too, that that is filtered through these overseers that God has provided to shepherd the church and ensure that the pure doctrine of the gospel is maintained.
That's right. And we have that. In our churches, we have bodies of elders, and we certainly, Chris and I, we endeavor to preach the gospel faithfully in season and out of season. And we hope that this program today has been a blessing for you. If you have any questions, you can please contact us with the information available at the end of the program. And we'd love to hear from you, hear your feedback, and whatever else you may think about these programs. May the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ continue to bless you in every way.
Thank you for joining us today on Gospel Talk. If you've been appreciating what you've been hearing on this program and you're not already, we'd like to encourage you to find a Christ-centered church with biblical preaching and teaching. For example, you could go online to www.canrc.org to see if there's such a church in your neighborhood. That website again, www.canrc.org. If there isn't such a church nearby and you'd like to be involved with starting one, we invite you to contact us. You can write us at Gospel Talk, 4631 Benz Crescent, Langley, B.C. The postal code V2Z1B3. That address again, Gospel Talk, 4631 Benz Crescent, Langley, B.C. V2Z1B3. You can also email us, gospeltalk@hotmail.com. That's Gospel Talk, all one word, at hotmail.com. Or you can call us toll-free at 1-866-288-1087. Again, that number, 1-866-288-1087. Thanks again for joining us this afternoon on Gospel Talk. May Christ's gospel continue to lavishly bless you.